thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
The legislature has been in session for about a week and a half now. What's the feeling in Denver?
Well, I think people are looking forward to getting some things done this year, as we always are. And I think that we're pretty dedicated, at least in our chamber in the Senate, to really finding bipartisan solutions to some of the issues that certainly Colorado has faced, starting with our floods, our fires, and really finding a way to support the people in this state as they work through those challenges.
Last year, the legislative session was pretty contentious and controversial. Given that this is an election year, do you expect this year to be divided again along partisan lines?
I can imagine that, it being an election year, that people have a lot to say, and there are a lot of several members of my chamber that are running, and also in the House for various offices. And we're definitely, the tone is one of wanting to make a statement. But with respect to the bipartisanship from last year, we passed about 440 bills and no vetoes from the governor. And 95% of those bills had bipartisan votes on them. So in spite of what people hear about maybe a few key bills that seem to be really contentious and difficult, that overall, I think we're not necessarily appreciating the fact that we're working together on the vast majority of the bills that come before us.
So it was a productive session last year, despite the...
Yeah, I believe it was. I think there were a few things that might stand out in people's minds, but we really did get a lot done. And coming out of the recession and the downturn, it was actually one of the first years that we've had some money to put back into the funds that we had to empty in order to balance the budget. I think that was an important opportunity. In particular, we put $194 million into capital improvements in the state, and I chair that committee. So for me, it was very, very important that we address the capital needs and the deferred maintenance needs. So there are many opportunities, I think, that we were able to realize finally when we had a positive balance for the revenue in the state.
Education and natural disasters are priorities for legislators this session. Do you think those topics will dominate discussion at the Capitol?
Well, we've had, it's been very interesting because our interim period that goes from May until January, basically, we've had a lot of work that's been done during that time with, as I said, these interim committees. I chaired the water interim committee. There was a wildfire committee. And certainly we had a big discussion around education in the state of Colorado through the course of the summer with our ballot questions. But it is, how do we now, since the voters have spoken that they don't want to put more money towards education statewide, what can we do to move money around and reprioritize money within our education system? We know Colorado has a long way to go to really maintain and develop a competitive education system. So I think that'll be an important conversation. And then also with respect to the wildfires and the floods, there are a few bills that came out of those interim groups that will be passing through, and I had several bills come out of the water interim. So we've teed those up. There's consensus around them, and I'm hopeful they'll get through.
So you plan to introduce a bill this session that would bring broadband internet access to some of Colorado's remote and rural areas. I'm assuming this is an expensive proposal. What does your legislation look like?
Well, and I'd have to be perfectly honest, it's my fourth year of working on broadband bills, recognizing that rural Colorado, especially in our mountain areas, we have really struggled with getting adequate connectivity for our schools. Like, for example, the school up in Marble suffers from very poor connectivity. Redstone, our communities really can't develop new jobs, attract any kind of industry, remain competitive if we don't have the broadband connectivity. So there is a fund that we all pay into with every single telephone device we have, and that's called a high-cost fund. Today, that fund is about $54 million, and it is used primarily to subsidize expensive telephone lines. What this bill would do is, as we see fewer lines that need subsidy, those funds will go into a broadband fund. And I have not necessarily been able to quantify what that investment is going to look like, and I think it has a B behind it in terms of its cost. But what we will do is start to have funds available, and we'll start a grant program and a commission that will provide those grants to communities to help develop their connectivity within their towns, or what we call middle mile, that connection between towns. And this is a very exciting opportunity. It's been part of a conversation of deregulating our telephone providers in our state. So that conversation has not been successful. So unfortunately, the rural broadband conversation has also failed to succeed. So we're separating those two pieces, and let the policy and the deregulation bill move forward, but also let us move forward. We're entitled to adequate connectivity, and it is absolutely critical that we, in my opinion, we're 4 years behind in terms of what we should be doing for our communities. And we see different regions of the state. Club 20 is very active. Southwest Colorado, Northwest Colorado, we know that our future relies on getting this connectivity, and that creating the fund, creating these grants will, in fact, I think, provide opportunity for us. Maybe not the kind of money that really could be a wholesale fix of our problem, but at least it's going to start us down that road.
Thanks for your time.
Well, thank you very much.